Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Our baseball team sucks again. Got swept by the Atlanta Braves.
Yikes.
6 games below .500. Pretty much out of every meaningful playoff conversation that matters.
Yeah, it's done. We just got to figure out what they're going to do in the offseason. Do they get rid of some key components of the team? I don't think they should, but that's just me.
I'm increasingly worried that's what's going to happen. I mean, there's key components and there's like the core for whatever it's worth. I mean, like Jack Flaherty, I consider a key component, but not necessarily part of the core of the team because he was always brought in to be traded. He's probably gone now. Mark Canha, I assume, is probably gone now if you could find someone to take his contract. Which I guess leaves just Tarik Skubal as the one piece that's like a core part of the team that I'm increasingly worried is going to get shipped out of here and traded off for prospects that we'll probably never actually see at the Detroit level.
Yep. That's disappointing. Disappointing to say the least.
Very. And yet, I guess I should have expected this. I've been trying to maybe not, if not be outright positive about this, at least try and not think about the hell that was about to ensue here. And, now we're going to have to deal with it, I have a feeling. That was a nice two and a half months while it lasted.
It is disappointing considering, you know, you've got two of our sports franchises on its way up. One just kind of treading water in the Pistons. And then
I think the Pistons are doing a little worse than treading water. I feel they're at the bottom of the pool and like no one remembers they were ever there.
Trying to gnaw off their foot that's chained around a radiator that's down at the bottom of the ocean. Yeah, I can see that.
Basically, that's good where analogy. The Pistons are.
Tigers, they're getting that little submarine that wants to go look at the wreckage of the Titanic. We'll be right back.
Did you see, by the way, there's apparently another one of those?
I saw that. I mean, they didn't learn the first time.
Apparently not. Apparently we just got to send more billionaires to the bottom of the ocean to get them to learn. Which, I mean, it's fine. It's fine.
I mean, I would love to go see the wreckage of the Titanic, but people understand it's you can't just have some man-made sub go down to that level because it crushes.
The pressure is so ridiculous.
Oh, like, yeah. It is crazy. Nobody understands the idea of water pressure, but yeah, it's, I mean, they did some science experiments, that sub, that rinky-dink sub that you get out of the bottom of a cereal box that they took last time, just crushed immediately. That's kind of like the Tigers.
Yeah, that seems...
Crushed immediately.
My, that... A more apt comparison has never been made about anything. Mm-hmm. Lots to do today. Stick around. It is happy hour. One other piece of sports news, at least locally, we can touch on briefly. Monty Williams is no longer head coach of your Detroit Pistons.
Anybody surprised? Please feel free to raise your hand.
I mean, it was about as disastrous of a season as you could have possibly expected. I mean, the team won literally 14 games last year under Williams and set an NBA record for consecutive losses with 28.
Yeah, and they just jettisoned who? Gorez? No,
I wish they jettisoned Gorez. No, they jettisoned Troy Weaver.
Oh, Troy Weaver, right. Well, I guess... I mean, as bad as they were, I never want to blame the front office, but and the coaching staff. But in this case, you kind of had to. So, I mean, I hate to see people lose their job, but this has got to be good news for the Pistons, correct?
It can't be any worse.
Yeah.
I mean, give Gorez, I guess, this much credit that he was willing to buy out that massive contract that they backed up to Monty Williams' house to even get him to take the gig.
Yeah.
Let's it was see. a pretty bad lineup. Like you basically had a couple guys who were backed by Troy Weaver and one very much supported by Arne Tellem. None of them were particularly stellar candidates.
No.
Like with the, I think that's kind of what made Gorez go back. Like, how much money do we have to give you to take this thing on?
A lot, a lot. Okay, here we go. Just put it in the memo line.
All of the money.
A lot, and then he just stinks up the joint. And now you got to buy him out.
And he basically told you the money is the reason he took the gig.
at a press conference. So how do you think you could turn the team around? I got paid. I don't care. If we win 14 games, I'll be surprised.
He'll never have to work again a day in his life.
Nope.
For signing such a ridiculous deal. And it was just a bad fit from early on. Like, Jaden Ivey is probably legitimately the future of your franchise. You bench him for the first half of the year to make Killian Hayes start, which I never understood.
I get it. You want to bench the rookies and give some older people a chance. You want to see what you got, but half the season? Get out of here.
Jaden Ivey wasn't even a rookie at that point. Like, he'd already been there a year. That was his second year on the squad, and Killian Hayes was not by any means a veteran talent. Like, I think he'd only been drafted like the year or maybe a year or two before. But we now have a complete rebuild in the front office. Troy Weaver's gone. You've got the new guy has put his people in charge, and I am kind of wondering who they're going to end up hiring as a head coach. Like, I look at some of the
candidates out there,
and not a lot of them really excite me all that much. You have Mike Inouye, who's an assistant with the T-Wolves. You have Kenny Atkinson, who I think did coach the Nets. He's currently an assistant for Golden State. Chris Quinn, who was an assistant in Miami. Like, it's a lot of like up and coming like assistant kind of guys. No one who's like currently in, and then J.J. Redick for some reason.
Who's that cat that just got fired from U of M basketball? Juwan Howard.
No, they wouldn't do something. I don't want to say they wouldn't do something that stupid, but that is one thing I don't think they would do.
I mean, I would like to see them kind of look towards the college ranks and see who's ready to come up to the NBA route.
I am not on board with the college thing.
No?
None. We talked about this when, who was it? John Beilein got hired as the coach of the Cavs. A lot of those guys.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
A lot of those guys do not translate into NBA coaches. It's a different style. Like, you have guys who are doing the tough love motivation and things of that sort, like your Tom Izzo's and, apparently your Beilein's. Professional basketball players do not take kindly to that sort of thing. You're there basically to massage and balance the egos in at the NBA level. It's not as much of an X's and O's like, here, we're going to teach these young men how to be men. It's a whole different thing, and that's why you don't see a lot of guys come from the college ranks and be successful in the NBA. There's a reason Coach K never attempted to do it. Izzo flirted with it for a while and probably thought better of it and ultimately decided to stay in college. It is not anywhere close to the same gig.
Well, they got to be getting the NBA has got to be getting their assistant coaches from somewhere. I mean, obviously, probably
a lot of former
players. Yeah.
That's a big part of it. A lot of former players, man. Like, you just kind of work their way up. Like, the talent pool is, it's very, like, separated.
Bill Laimbeer. Bring him in as a coach.
Yeah,
he'll straighten out egos. He'll throttle them.
Right? I mean, in theory, as much as I don't hate the idea, we're beyond that state. Like, basketball has just changed so much since his time, man. I just don't see. Now, there's part of me like, well, I hear Chauncey wants to coach. If that were to be a thing, I'd think about it. But legitimately, like, it's going to end up being someone we've never heard of, I have a feeling. It's going to be some assistant for another team, and we're not going to be excited about it. It's ultimately not going to change anything because the team's still going to suck.
I'd like to see what Chauncey Billups could do.
It'd be interesting, but now it seems like he's more interested in a front office role. Who knows? It is happy hour. Stick around. It's probably about that time, isn't it? I've made you suffer already today through baseball and basketball talk. I reckon the absolute least, and I do mean the least I could do, is let you go off and talk hockey.
No, the least is, after your sign-off and everything else. Oh, yeah, okay, you got 2 minutes to talk hockey. Come on, the Stanley Cup Finals are going on right now.
I know.
And I tell you what, this is getting exciting.
Apparently. So as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Hi, everybody. It's Hockey Night in Canada. Oh, what's going on? Adam Harahuck hanging out with you. Panthers, Oilers in Florida last night. Game five. Panthers hoping to wrap things up. They were not able to get it done. Oilers beat them 5-3. There really was no contest. At one point, it was 3-0. Panthers just laid down and showed their belly.
That was sad.
I mean, 14 minutes in the first period without a shot on goal from the Cats. Nothing. I mean, Oilers shut them down. Bob Roski did all he could, but there's only so much even a caliber goalie like Sergei Bobrovsky can do. You got to get some help from scoring. And they did get a little bit of scoring, but it was all, it was not enough. So you had Evan Rodriguez with a goal and assist for Florida. But, I mean, Connor McDavid woke up today and said, oh, that's right, I know how to play hockey. 2 goals, 2 assists. He was a +2 on the night. And they have woken up the Edmonton Oilers. The Panthers are in trouble. Yes, they one more win and they got the Stanley Cup. But from what we've seen the last 2 games and half of game 3, they can't get it done. Half of game 3, Florida did win that game, but it's like Edmonton woke up and they were able to get within 1 goal and then whoop them 8-1 and then beat them 5-3 on their own ice. Sean, you wanted a game 7? You were saying it's going to be a game 7. I think you're going to get your wish.
I don't think I said I wanted a game 7. I just thought it would be. My guess was that it would be a game 7. Yeah. I would have been fine with Edmonton getting shut out.
Yep. I think it's going to be game 7. And I know it's too late to change my prediction, but because I had Florida in 6, I think it's going to be Oilers in 7. They've just have got Florida's number.
Florida's not giving up. They're not choking away a 3-0 series lead.
If they do, I believe it'll be the first time in Stanley Cup Finals history. It's happened in the playoffs, but not in the finals.
I don't see it happening. Like they're not going to be the first team to do that.
Well, if game 4 and 5 were any kind of example, I don't see Florida coming back. It's just, I mean, Edmonton.
Because, you know, Edmonton didn't come back after being down 3-0 in the series, Adam.
Well, they have. It's now 3-2.
Right, but there's no way Florida can come back, though, right?
Oh, well, that's fine. I don't think they're going to be able to win games 6 and 7. I mean, look. We'll find out. I mean, I'd like to see Florida win their first Stanley Cup, but I don't know. Just the way the game that I saw, because I watched the first and second and a little bit of the third, Edmonton clamped down. We said that Florida, with their solid goaltending and being able to roll 4 lines, were able to control Edmonton because they didn't have solid goaltending. Skinner hasn't been too bad. And
he hasn't. But how long are we really expecting that to hold?
Well, 2 more games. I mean, the team is rolling. The Edmonton Oilers, the team is rolling. Maybe Florida will go and watch some tape and they'll, you know, eat their Wheaties or something and come back. But if they continue the same kind of lackluster performance they did in Game 5, forget it. It's all oil country.
I don't see it being over. I told you it wasn't over when they were up 3-0. I'm not going to now say it's over going the opposite way, man.
From what I saw, I think so. Hey, I just want an exciting Game 7. That'd be fun. Because I don't have a dog in the fight. The Red Wings aren't in it. So I'd rather just see that win 11 to 10 in double overtime. Just both goalies just get lit up. That's what both you goalies get for having your jersey numbers in the 70s. Come on.
Okay, Lou Lamoriello.
What is this? Are you playing EA Sports NHL games? Jeez. Glad you guys didn't have the number 69 as your jersey.
Nice.
What do you mean I can't have 420?
Lame. Well, I guess we'll see for sure on, what, Friday?
Yep, Friday is game 6. And then if needed, if necessary, and I think it will be necessary, Monday they'll be handing out a Stanley Cup. To whom? We will soon find out.
That we shall. I can't believe we're this close almost to the end of hockey.
And then the draft is a week from Friday.
And I have no idea. You're the expert when it comes to the draft.
Oh, no, I'm not. I know the
more
first,
so than
first,
I am.
First couple, there was that one year we were just we all wanted Cole Perfetti and we wanted this guy and this guy, and then we end up getting Mo Sider and we're like, who is this guy?
Never heard of him.
And then he ends up winning the Calder Trophy. So apparently Steve Yzerman knows a little bit about drafting more than I, or the, I shouldn't put it all on Yzerman. His scouting crew knows a little bit about the players more than I do.
A little bit. And now, to be fair, Perfetti's been okay. He had 19 goals, 19 assists last year for Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah. He's been good.
But I'd rather have Sider.
Oh, yeah. Sider, you're going to need... Defense wins championships.
It's true.
They've been trying to tout the next guy. I can't remember what his name is, but they're trying to push him as the next, you know, Connor, the cat from... Chicago.
Connor Bedard.
Connor Bedard, yeah. So, I don't know.
Connor Bedard's NHL, sponsored by Connor Bedard.
So. Oh, yes, of course. So we'll have to see what's going on. I mean, where do the Wings... I mean, they don't pick until the 15th. At this point, see what you can do. Trade that pick away for two more second-rounders.
That seems like the kind of thing Stevie would legitimately do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean... He doesn't care about seeing himself on camera and getting out there. we sit there with bated breath, wearing our Red Wing jerseys, going, "Oh, what are they gonna do after the 14th pick? Here comes bobblehead Bettman. We have a trade to announce." As Yzerman is just cleaning up his nice and neatly cleaning up his table. Draper's like, "So we're just leaving, huh? All right."
Well, I wouldn't, you know, at this point, I don't put it past Steve Yzerman to do pretty much anything.
He knows what he's doing. The Yzer plan. Love it.
Trust it. Know it. Love it. Etc. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. So apparently there's an update on the, whatever they're going to call Utah's new NHL team.
Yeah. They're not going to go by the Utahs or whatever?
They're going to go by, apparently for the first year, they're going by the Utah Hockey Club.
Stupid. You can't think of a name before then.
Right. Like, I get that, yeah, Seattle had a little more time to figure out what they were going to call their team, and same with Vegas. But I mean, other relocations in the past hasn't gone that way. I mean, no. Granted, Winnipeg's was a slam dunk. You were always going to call that the Jets, no matter what.
Oh, they were so coy about it. We have no idea what we're going to call ourselves.
We have no idea. You can actually see the old Jets logo in the background behind them.
There's that guy walking around in a Jets mascot costume. He's like, "Not now. Get back behind the curtain, stupid." Oh, sorry.
I didn't realize their mascot was Goofy. But, no, like, even, like, what's the last relocation before that? The Colorado Avalanche. Didn't take them that long, or the Coyotes, for that matter, to come up with a name.
No. I mean, well, yeah, okay. Yeah, Thrashers went to the Jazz. I'm trying to think of who else were other... Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Those are the two, yeah.
I mean, come up with a name and then tease it that you're going to announce it at the draft. I mean, that's perfect. It's got to be the Utah Yeti. That just rolls off the tongue. It looks cool. It sounds cool. I mean, it's not a name that ends in an S. I mean, this is perfect.
What was your thing against teams with a name that ends in an S?
Nothing. It's just different.
Yeah, but different's not always good. See, for example, the Minnesota Wild, which is still the stupidest name
Minnesota
in any
Wild
of the Big Four.
That is pretty stupid.
Like, the other, like, you know... You know, the Red Wings, the Rangers, the Stars, yeah.
They all have some sort of meaning behind it.
I mean, even the Kraken, I guess, is a plural, despite the fact that I guess the plural of Kraken is just Kraken.
I mean, Minnesota Wild. I mean, that was like the total nine. I mean, even though they came out in 2000,
like that's
like the total
arena.
90s. I mean, what was the Minnesota Extreme already taken?
That's like such an arena football name.
It is. Totally.
The Fury.
Hate the name. I have you seen that they've officially adapted the Minnesota North Stars color scheme, though, the green and gold?
I did see that, and, you know, good on them. That's, That's probably a pretty solid move.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
I
didn't think they could do it, though. Like, that kind of surprised me when I saw that, because I didn't think they were allowed to, because I thought Dallas still owned
it. No, you can. I mean, look how many teams have red, white, and blue as their colors. I mean, you can't really trademark colors.
I know, but it's just, it's kind of like, to the extent that they kind of copy the old jerseys, it's like, is Dallas going to come after you for copyright infringement? They might.
I don't know if
it's... Because you're clearly trying to invoke the North Stars here, and that franchise still exists in a different state.
Yeah, but I mean, that'd be kind of a real D-bag kind of move of Dallas. You have your own thing. I mean, you at one point had the Taurus jersey.
Oh, okay? The Mooterus.
The Mooterus. You got that. I mean, you've got the... you had the jersey that just said Dallas across the front. Clearly, you're not trying. Just let somebody else have those colors.
Well, yeah, that's why they need all this, because they need all the ideas they can get that don't suck.
Right. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, Minnesota, right now, Wild, they went to the green and gold. Utah is going to just go with the Utah Hockey Club. That is just that's...
And apparently, there is a front runner as far as the Utah NHL team's next name, at least according to one Elliot Friedman.
The Yeti.
No, apparently the Venom.
Brought to you by Venom Energy Drink.
Of course. You'd expect anything less.
Utah Venom. It's kind of cool.
I hate it in much the same way that I hate the... Not as much as I hate the Minnesota Wild, but... It doesn't. Again, it sounds just super arena football.
Yeah, it sounds like it should be, I don't know, the X Games or something like that. I mean, it could go worse.
Utah Extreme.
Yeah, Utah. yeah, I mean, they could have just gone. I mean, how many times have we seen a team called the Blades? Utah Blades. Let's just go with that, guys. That good? All right. It's like they came up with the name on the Friday.
It sure seems like they did.
And it's not an animal. That's what I like. I mean, even though a Yeti is an animal, I like that. But having a name as an animal is kind of played out. I like having a name that has something to do with the area. Like around...
yeah, but how many Yeti are there in Utah?
Three. Nice guys. Met them. I owe them a phone call, by the way. No, like there was a high school team. I don't know if they're still called the Railroaders, but Duran had like, you know, a big railroad junction there, so they were called the Railroaders. I think that's cool. That kind of stuff.
I mean, that makes sense, and also is a
the Yeti Mormons. I mean, the Utah Mormons,
the Mighty Mormon Power Rangers.
Oh, there's a joke there. I'm leaving it right alone.
I mean, I guess if you want to.
Utah Soakers.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll remember that it got narrowed down to...
At first they said they narrowed it down to three, and then they narrowed it down to 10.
No, they narrowed it to six. Okay. And those were the Blizzard, Utah Hockey Club, Utah Mammoth, Utah Outlaws, Venom, and Yeti. Fury didn't make the list. I'm sure Eddie's very disappointed.
He sued him. Outlaws? I guess. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Blizzard?
Feels a little old westy for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly.
But Utah's not really like...
Are you saying there was no cowboys in Utah?
I'm saying...
Are you saying Utah was not the Wild West?
Kind of, yeah. I think the Mormons got in there before the whole cowboy thing ever really had a chance to take hold. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Venom. It's just too... It's too, like I said, too minor league, too arena football, too, like, minor league baseball team.
But Utah Blizzard just makes it sound like, it's like...
I mean, you've already got the Avalanche. Like,
you're
already
creating a team on EA Sports, and it's like, that's one of the names, Blizzard. Okay, we'll just go with that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really particularly likes that name. And, like, how are you doing the Blizzard when the team, when your closest rival is the Avalanche?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense to do that. That's stupid. We shouldn't let them, it shouldn't be allowed. But
here we are.
Although apparently, allegedly, someone had pointed out that the Avs also have a Yeti-like mascot.
They do. I thought their mascot was a polar bear or something like that.
I'll be honest with you.
Should be.
I have no clue.
Should be a turtle.
Should just change the name of that whole team to the Turtles. It's never going to get old.
Never. Not for us old guys.
We'll make that joke forever, and it will still be as hilarious every time we do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it is happy hour at Solid State Radio. So Adam brought up to me an interesting stat that I, as a the baseball junkie of this show, somehow completely was eluded by.
Yeah, the New York Mets, they've been having a rough time.
For their entire existence, yes.
They were in a slump until the McDonald's mascots popped up at a game.
Wait, that was a thing?
Yeah, Grimace. Why? Grimace threw out the first pitch.
Who thought that was a good idea?
I have no idea. But yeah, here's Grimace. On June 12th, he threw out the first pitch. And they haven't lost a game since.
That's amazing. Yeah. And just the kind of thing I would expect from the Mets. Like, although it would have been even more hilarious. Okay, they bring out Grimace to do something stupid like that, and it ends up like just cursing them further. Like that year where they were going to make the playoffs, and they bring out what's his stupid trumpet guy to play out on the field.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that just tanked their season.
Yeah, but instead they bring a Grimace out there, which Grimace isn't that like this term for like frowning and being up and unhappy. And here's this big purple...
Big jolly purple guy?
Big blob. Come on, they're throwing out the first pitch. And since then, I don't think they've lost since June 12th. I don't know if you got the stats with you. But, yeah, so is everybody going to try that? Is the Tigers going to bring, like, the Hamburglar?
Robble, robble.
Robble, robble. Strike! Robble, robble.
Honestly, I'd be fine. You put the Hamburglar in at shortstop. Couldn't possibly do any worse.
No, you put the Hamburglar in there, and then he beanballs somebody. And here they're rushing them out. Oh, robble, 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 robble.
Well, I mean, Hamburglar, so you should at least be able to steal a base or two, right?
Yeah, right. Well, if he's pitching, he can't. I mean, not in the.
Well, yeah, that's what we're not putting. Well, we're not putting him out there to pitch.
Well, you can't have him as. You have first pitch. Do you have first batter? Now bat and clean up. Hamburglar.
I'm fine with it. Whatever at this point gets this team to get some competent offense. And yes, you are correct. They have won all their games since then. They're on a 7-game winning streak now.
Wow.
Which still has them, in true Mets fashion, still has them 2 games under 500. And 13.5 out of their division, and only a half a game out of a wild card spot, but still, that's all somehow about the most Mets thing I could possibly expect.
So I mean, what if they start to sway a little bit, they bring him out, bring it back out, or do they bring the Burger King out there to just throw the first pitch and just make everybody uncomfortable?
Right, just make everyone creepily uncomfortable.
Or they just call in Ronald McDonald, just do 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 do.
Like, he's just...
I'm sliding it.
Like, he just walks out there with that permanent, like, fucking grin plaster on that stupid mask of his.
Yeah.
And just pulls out a burger.
Like, throws a burger instead of the ball.
I half expect that to be a thing. And because it's the Mets, you can really never put it out of the realm of possibility.
Exactly.
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. So Adam has clearly noticed that we're getting ready here at the Cantwell Eckert compound.
Yes.
For our annual 4th of July bash. Like that holiday weekend, we always have people over and we just get stupidly, as the kids like to say, turnt.
Turnt, yes.
And he's already like, oh, I'm going to be just hammered that weekend. How hammered am I going to be? Well, let me tell you, Adam, because the wife has some friends of hers coming over from work that day, apparently.
Yeah.
Who are from, I believe they have some like foreign exchange program at their work, basically. They have a couple Spaniards who came in, and they haven't experienced a true American holiday yet. And boy, are they going to get a full-on American holiday, mon frere. Like, it's going to be, like, she's already bought all this, like, super, like, America gear, like, just American flags as far as the eye can see. She acquired a bunch of tiki torches, although I don't think we're going to be storming the Capitol or anything with them. But, Like, I've already told her, like, if they show up, because you're trying to make this as America, like, in the, you know, the stereotypical sense as possible, yeah. I will literally show up to this damn party cut with a American flag t-shirt, don't even care what color, cut off sleeves, walk out, immediately walk in, like, you know, have me up.
Cut off shorts with cowboy boots.
American flag headband, walk into this party, two cans of Bud Light, open them, smash them, chug them, Stone Cold Steve Austin style. Because these people need to truly experience what America Day is all about.
There you go. And then, of course, the American party. I wonder what people from other lands think of what an American party is. We're just shooting guns and fireworks. And I mean,
I want to light off fireworks, but Rachel won't let me.
No.
Oh, we're too close to other houses and trees and things, and you're going to burn down our whole neighborhood. Oh, whatever. Like, do we really like the neighborhood that much anyway?
Right. And it's not like the other people aren't going to be lighting off fireworks.
Right. So, I fully expect the garage to go up in flames at some point. Why not? The siding already got melted on it.
Why not? Yeah, so these people are going to experience a game of beanbag.
Cornhole, yes.
I don't
they are.
Call it cornhole.
Well, because you're wrong. Like, the name of the sport is what it is, and you can keep trying to call it beanbag.
Yeah, I know, but...
All you want, but that's not the name of the damn...
And beanbag is kind of like a slang for anything else anyway, so I guess it's a losing battle. So, okay, are you going to teach them how to cornhole?
Absolutely. They'll probably end up being better than us because they're, you know, not just slow, sluggish Americans like us. So.
They'll do it so much more efficiently.
They probably will, you know? They probably would. That would be my luck. Like, you know, we shouldn't have taught the Spaniards how to play cornhole. They're already way better than us at it.
21-2.
I get cut from my own team. It's my house. How did that happen? I don't understand.
Ride the bench, Cantwell.
Never had this indignity visited upon me before. How dare they? It's happy hour. Stick around. It is happy hours. We get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Wednesday afternoon. Don't go anywhere, though. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. All being well, we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3 or, well, whenever we're sober enough to do so.
Ooh.
See ya.